Father in heaven, be glorified. Lord, we sang about your glory. Lord, be glorified through your word in our lives. Use me in my weakness. Lord, may we be available to you today to be obedient, even as Winnie challenged us. Lord, may we be obedient to what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do wonderful people like Winnie and Aaron, you know, Aaron was our worship leader. Why do wonderful people like Winnie and Aaron leave their home country to go to live in a very different country, a very challenging culture like Croatia? You know, my favorite missionary testimony is about a woman, and she was doing a Bible translation and was an unreached people group. An unreached people group is a group of people, a people group that has not heard the gospel. Well, this woman was trying to get them to believe that Jesus, that God became a man, Jesus came here, God walked on this earth. But they kept thinking that it was like a fairy tale, a fiction story. And then because of the bigotitudes or, you know, that history, they realized, hey, this isn't fiction, this is reality. And it was like, you know, the proverbial light bulb went off and they received the gospel. And then, you know what their first question was to the missionary? And, you know, you think about it, this makes sense. They said, well, did you meet Jesus? And, of course, they meant in a physical sense, did you meet Jesus? And she said, oh, no, I didn't meet Jesus. He died and rose again before I was born. Oh, then your dad met Jesus. She said, no, my dad didn't meet Jesus. Then your grandfather met Jesus. So she realized this was going to go on for a while, so she started to put sticks on the ground. For every generation, for 1900 years, for every generation, she put a stick on the ground. And every time she put another stick down, the chief of the tribe, he grew sad. Whenever she put another stick down on the ground. And at the end, he was stunned. And this is what he said. He said, you mean God walked on this earth and we're just hearing about it now? How would you answer that question? Why are we just hearing about it now? You know, I find that story very convicting and compelling. Compelling because, wow, yeah, God walked on the planet. It just kind of renews, refreshes my sense. Jesus, God sent Jesus, the Son. He loved us so much. He came and he walked and he came to us that we might receive the good news and live with him forever in heaven. Wow. But convicting because why haven't we got the message out? Why is Coca-Cola better known than the name of Jesus? When Jesus said, go and into all the world and take the gospel out into the world. And so I wonder if the deaf people in Croatia might ask the same question. Why has it taken so long for us to hear about Jesus? Or the Roma people, which they're better known, but it's a kind of a derogatory term, as gypsies. Why did the Roma people, then maybe they ask, why did it take so long for somebody to come and tell us about Jesus when this happened so long ago? You know, consider, do you remember what the first commandment was that God gave to us as people? The first command? He said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, he created man and male and female in his image, and he said, go and fill the earth and take dominion over it. Multiply and fill the earth. Some even call that the Great Commission. Imagine life where everybody is bearing the image of God, God is love. Everybody's bearing the image of God. We're loving one another, bearing the image of God. What would life be like on this earth? He created us to bear his image and to enjoy his creation. What would life be like? Well, that's where eternity is now. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that are coming because there's a new Adam that came, that Jesus came, and he restored. When the fall came, what happened to our image of God? It was terribly broken, wasn't it? Can we fix that? Can we fix that in our own strength? No, but God can fix it. But his image, but he calls us to be image bearers, and only he can fix it. But I think there's a DNA given to us in this command to go and fill the earth, bearing his image and enjoying his creation. And again, he's the God of love. But let's look at this scripture. This is the original command. But look at the one. What did he say to Noah after he had to destroy the earth because there's so much evil in the world? Let's read this. Then God blessed Noah and his son, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." Does that sound familiar? It's kind of a repeat, and when God repeats himself, it's pretty important. And then how about the Tower of Babel? And there's a lot more passages I don't have time to go into. But what about the Tower of Babel? We think about it as a place where the people were exercising their pride by building this large building, very high building. But there was another reason that God caused them to give them different languages to be scattered. Let's look at this slide. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so we can make a name for ourselves." So the human pride. And what's it say? "And not be scattered over the face of the earth." What did God's commission was that we go and be scattered to fill the earth. But here they say, "No, we're just going to stay together." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. And I think of Jerusalem where there was a command to go take the gospel out of Jerusalem. But then they weren't really scattered until the persecution came. I'd rather go out as a volunteer than to be scattered, to go out. But God's going to have his way. He's going to get his will out. And I think it just fits right in to this next command. Let's read this together. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It sounds like, again, he's repeating, he's sending us out to go and take this good news. In the gospel reading today, and again, all the readings today were picked because it's Mission Sunday, and this is part of our new Anglican group. It's great to have a Mission Sunday. But in the gospel reading, it was talking about the day Jesus rose from the dead. And in that day, women had seen Jesus. The two disciples on the way to Emmaus had seen Jesus, but like most of the disciples had not seen Jesus. So there, and it says in the gospel, they were in a locked room. Why were they in a locked room? It says they were afraid. So they're still battling fear. They're in a locked room. Also, and then what happens? Jesus shows up. Did he go through the door? No. And our bodies are going to be like the resurrected body of Jesus. So that's going to be pretty cool, you know. Don't worry about locks anymore. Just walk through the wall. So he shows up. And what's the first thing he says to them? Peace. And I think there's reasons he said it. Obviously, if you're in a room and you're locked and you're scared and somebody just appears, that's going to be a kind of a scary situation. But he says peace. But I think there's also a reconciliation in that peace. I think he's also remembering how they might feel. Because it wasn't just Peter that denied Jesus. All the disciples denied him. So I think he was saying, "Peace be with you. It's okay." He's not about, "I told you so." Peace be with you. And then what's the next thing he does? He shows him his scars, his hands and his side. He shows him the scars. Someone said that's the only thing in heaven that's going to be man-made, the scars on his hands and his side, his feet. Why did he show him his scars? He proved that it was Jesus. I'm the one. This is really Jesus, who, you know, and I was crucified and I'm risen. I'm really alive. But I think it goes even deeper, don't you? Why on the resurrected body of Jesus did they allow the scars to stay? What was God wanting to tell us? For all eternity, those scars are going to be on his hand to tell us, hey, this is how much I love you. This is what happened. These scars are beautiful. Do you remember a few months ago, I told you this story? You know, you might remember I had open heart surgery, you know, they get the right, and you get a scar. And I went to see the PA, you know, a few weeks after the surgery just to get a checkup, you know, and she wanted to see my incision. So I opened up my shirt and showed her. And you know what she said? You remember what she said? Oh, it's beautiful. I thought, what, this ugly thing? Beautiful. It's not beautiful. But how was she looking at it? As a healer, wasn't she? She looked at it as a healer. What did she see? What's a scar? A deep wound that's been healed, right? And so when they saw the scars, what do you think they thought? Beautiful. You know, the Bible says Jesus told them that they were going to have sorrow and then they'd be overjoyed. It says after he showed them his hands and his side that they were filled with joy. But unlike me, I had the deep healing and I got the scars. But with Jesus, he has the scars and we have the deep healing, right? The deep healing from our sin. So those scars remind us of what kind of love we have, what kind of God we serve, that we go that far, go to the cross, and we're going to celebrate that in communion, go to the cross and die for us, that we might believe in him. And then we go on, and let's consider for a moment the sorrow that they had and then the joy they had. Now, the next thing, do you remember what the next thing was he said? He said, peace be with you a second time. And then he said, as the Father has sent me, what's he said? I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. It was interesting that Chris, that had been a life verse for Chris. I didn't know that. I didn't pick it for that reason. But who, you know, who's going? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. That should be our prayer. That should be our heart. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Now, you may think, well, I'm not ordained. I've never taken a Bible class, you know. Here I am, Lord, send pastor, or send deacon, or send somebody that has some training, or send somebody. How much you need to know before you can be sent? You have to have what kind of degree do you need to be sent? How about the woman at the well? Well, what about her credentials? Married 5 times, 5 husbands. And what happened? She went out, and she was one of the first evangelists in the Bible. And she went out, and the Bible tells us many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She didn't know that much about Jesus, but she shared what she did know about Jesus, and it made a difference. That's what I think our challenge is for us today. One of the most powerful tools you and I have, one of the most powerful tools is our testimony. You know, as a pastor, I got convicted from my own sermon. That's encouraging. But I got convicted. You know, I thought, my brothers and my I have two sisters and their families, and there's nobody there that bunch of people that don't know the Lord. So I thought, you know, I've never really had a chance to tell them my story. So I'm going to write my story out and send it to them all. You know, write it out in a sensitive way and send it to them. Some of you are on Facebook. I know, I was so thankful when the pandemic first hit. Debbie Balch wrote her testimony and put it out on Facebook. You know when the church grew the fastest? When everybody in the church thought it was their job to get the gospel out. And not just a professional job, or not just an evangelist. When everybody said, send me these people. Now, you may not be called to Croatia, but you might be called to go across the street. My neighbor just died. I went to visit him, and I talked to him. But I hope he knew the Lord. And you can just be sent, and it's uncomfortable. It's not easy for Winnie and Aaron to leave and to go where they were sent. But to go and share with somebody, to share with people around you, where you work, where you live. And one of the best things that you can share is your testimony. I'd love to collect our testimonies and put them in like a booklet, or even if you had your testimonies that you could hand it out to people. Do you ever sit in church here and hear somebody give a testimony like Tim did last Sunday and think, oh, I wish so-and-so could hear this testimony? How about Lauren Pearson? The powerful testimony of how the Lord's helped her when her husband died shortly after they were married. And we have Doris Gomez's testimony. She has a testimony in there. Pastor Ken has a testimony on there. There's a lot of powerful testimonies on there. And you know what? You can just give a link to that testimony and send it to somebody. If you're sitting here and hear a testimony, it'll be on our webpage. And all of them, there's a testimony in there from Ricky Dozier. You can just use that, but to have a heart for sharing the gospel and using whatever means we can to get it out. Okay, one more verse here. This is also one of the readings. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. I think of my dad. I thought, you know, I thought this could never happen with my dad. But it did. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And this is the beautiful thing. And how can they hear without someone preaching them? Now, preaching has a negative connotation, sadly. But what's it saying? God co-works with us. That we work together with God to be a witness for him, to share our faith with him. One of the best things we can do, too, is to pray for lost people. Some of you remember the story about the Camaroos and our church driving 3 hours to go share with my dad. And they brought him to Christ. They took the 3 hours they just drove, just in obedience. God told them to go and do it. But I know that part of that was just for people praying for my dad, for me praying. Pray for people that you don't know. And you might say, Marty, my neighbor knows the name of Jesus. But what Jesus does your neighbor know? Does he know the political Jesus? Or the hateful Jesus? Or the religious Jesus where it's all about regulations and rituals? Does he know the true Jesus? Oh, I don't believe in God. Well, tell me about the God you don't believe in, because I probably don't believe in that God either. There's a lot of distortion out there. And we have the truth about God. And I'll tell you, it's exciting when you see someone come to know the Lord. I've shared this before, but they say it usually takes 24 witnessing opportunities before someone comes to Jesus. And you know the problem is 24 people can think they failed. And one person thinks they succeeded when it was a work of God. When we witness, we don't witness alone. We witness with the power of the Holy Spirit. So here I am. What's our answer? Send me, Lord. Do send us. Give us a heart for people. Show us the people that we're in particular to go to. And Lord, may we see the glory of the Lord as people give their lives to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.